Welcome to part two of our non-alcoholic beer podcast. This one is all about how the market of non-alcoholic beers developed and if breweries should jump that train right now. Have fun with it. So basically, what you're working on and what every researcher is probably working on is how to make the beers or the non-alcoholic beverages to taste like beers, or just to preserve some taste, or can you explain like what that is?
Good question, because you said before that there was a turn in the science and also at the customers, that first you want to do a copy paste just without alcohol, and now there's this turn in the science that you just want to say, okay, that's non-alcoholic, that's a taste, but we want to make that taste better, right?
Yeah. I think maybe, yeah, it sounds a little bit strange because these are two different ways of thinking, but I think maybe it goes more or less hand in hand. So on the one side, that's the expectation from the customer, and on the other hand, so we have different research topics, and so research, of course, is free, so we can do a lot here. And now we, of course, work in the first way for the companies and what they have for expectations. But at the end, it comes back from the customers. So the customers have to buy the product, and so we produce it. I think the first point really was the philosophy or the different thinking in the society supports the product itself, because it's the thinking in alcohol-free products and healthy products and calorie-reduced products and so on. And the second way of thinking is really from the point of the product itself. And I think here you can see it from two different ways. So I said I don't want to copy one by one really alcoholic beer, because I can't do it. But of course, I think the customer itself expects a little bit a beer type. And so we call it beer. So if we want a really complete different product, we should it malt-based beverage.
It's kind of a paradox.
Yes, it's like a paradox. Yeah, we shouldn't call it alcohol-free beer. Mm-hmm. And so so long we call it beer, of course, we want a beer style maybe in a different way, but we want to have a beer style.
Yeah, but this is a compliment. I must say, you know, I've visited now a few countries for the brewery, and so every country, every society is also a little bit different how they see our products.
Yeah.
And what I get a lot is, especially when it comes to the non-alcoholic Hefeweiss beer, that the people actually say, yeah, it's a great beer, and they see it as a beer, but they love the situation. Oh, it's as creamy as a Hefeweiss beer. So the mouthfeel and the yeastiness, and it's still a little bit, you know, the banana. So the characteristics of a Hefeweiss beer are there. But they, and now I see it especially in the US, for an example, that the people, when they drink, like maybe in dry January, they want to, on purpose, do not drink alcohol. They want on purpose low calorie product or healthier product with no alcohol. And then they say, yeah, it has a lighter taste, but that is what they want and what they expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they still want to have the refreshing creaminess and the sparklingness of the wheat beer. So I guess it's also a society mindset. Yeah. What the people are expecting. I guess here in Bavaria and Germany, people are like very beer focused, and they must be very close to the original product. Maybe in other countries and other societies, they see it a little bit more diverse.
Yes, so maybe it's that's really the challenge for the non-alcoholic beer, to bring us and all our minds away from the thinking, oh, it's beer, it has to taste like beer. So I never compare bottom fermented beer with top fermenting beer, because it's also different. I don't compare an ale beer with a Kölsch beer, for example. And so if I don't compare that, so I also have to accept that maybe alcohol-free beer is also a really own product. And I don't need to compare this product with the original style. I see it as own product, and it's tasty, and that's fine for me.
So do you think that breweries have to become more creative with non-alcoholic beverages, not beers, beverages,
yes,
just because everybody calls it just their basic name, alcohol-free.
Maybe a little bit more creative in the communication about it, actually. Maybe not in the product for itself, like to reinvent it, maybe just redefine it.
I think that's one way. So in the product itself, we see it on the different ways of production. So we very, very great, but we can be very creative here. So they think there are thousands of ways to produce non-alcoholic beer. And then you have this, the blending, the possibility to blend the different production ways. I think here we can really be creative. So we have the post-treatment with hops, for example. So there are many ways. And, I think you are right. So maybe we need to be more creative and really to bring it on the market, to create cool names for it, to create a cool atmosphere drinking the beer. It's not just the sport and it's not just driving. And so this typical way where typical lifestyles where I think on alcohol-free beer, maybe I have to be more creative in the marketing here.
Yeah, maybe doing a podcast about non-alcoholic beers to get a little bit
that should help.
That should maybe help. Okay, now we have talked a little bit about the different ways of production, and now we can come to my question I had in like 10 minutes before. Now we got the turn to it. And so these are the basic ways we already talked about it, how to produce non-alcoholic beers. Now I want to come back to the situation of producing non-alcoholic beers according to the Bavarian purity law. Mm-hmm. We need to do here in Germany, because outside of Germany, people have more possibilities, like with adjunctions, with aromas or additional flavors to pimp those non-alcoholic beers. But as a Bavarian brewery and as the world's oldest brewery, we're you know, this is the world's oldest food law, from 1516 to today. We are working accordingly to the Bavarian purity law, and this also is in counts for non-alcoholic beer, right?
Yes. But I think it's not so. We can be proud on this really old food law, and I think that's not contrary to production of beer. So I think it's not necessary to use the things. So we have really a lot of ways where we can produce it, and so I think we have especially the. Really this broad field to use different hops, to use different raw materials. So it's not necessary to use really adjunct. So we have the possibility to have a lot of malted specialty malts, which are all allowed inside the purity law. And never forget the broad range of hop products we have. So this is all allowed inside the purity law. And I think you have not a benefit if you produce it outside the purity law.
Okay.
Everything we need to produce a good beer, we have.
Yeah, because sometimes I think, you can, add there a little bit beer aroma, because there are now products out there on the market, that you can dose to a non-alcoholic beer, some kind of beer aroma or beer flavor. And then I'm like,
Yeah,
so in my personal opinion, that's a little bit cheating,
Are you allowed to experiment with those beer aromas in non-alcoholic beers here? Or do you have to experiment according to the
purity law? Inside the research, we are allowed to do everything, quite everything.
Yeah.
We need to be inside the chair, but of course we do that and we are allowed to do that. And I think not that's really a benefit if you can flavor the beers, yes?
Okay.
Maybe it sounds to be easier, but it isn't maybe in practice really to bring it on the same level to make it reproducible. And never forget, if you think in the first arguments we have in the beginning of our talk, that we produce for the customer and the customer they want to have more and more this clean label product, this natural, healthy product. Natural based products, and that he really knows what's inside and how it is produced. I think
It would not benefit the
a benefit. Yeah, it's the purity loss more the benefit, and if you label it, so it's a product
because you need to label it if you do it. Yeah,
you need to label it, and I see that more than a benefit as a benefit.
Okay, you're right. Yeah. And in the end, the customer is king. You know, because if he don't buy the product, it can as good as it is, but if he don't appreciate it, it does not matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And by the from the technical point of view, you have all the possibilities to bring the aromas back. Sometimes it's maybe harder if you produce 0.0, then it's really hard with some production ways to bring it back. But you can do it also in a technical way.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, Bavarian. Bavarian Purity Law, producing Bavarian beers. The market of Bavaria is you know known as one of the big beer markets worldwide. It's part of the culture of Bavaria, and it's why here is the oldest brewery in the world. It's at home in Bavaria. The oldest school for brewing science and education is here in Bavaria with the Weihenstephan University. But actually, and this is very, very interesting, it's also a huge market for non-alcoholic beers. It's about some serious numbers of non-alcoholic beers are drunk by people here in Germany and, of course, Bavaria. And when I'm internationally, on trips, a lot of people were like, what? Bavarians are drinking non-alcoholic beers? So it's a little bit confusing for them because they see us as the big beer drinkers, but not with non-alcoholic beers. So where do you think is this going? So, okay, we're here like basically in the hometown region of beer. And what do you personally think is still in there? So not just in Bavaria, but also internationally, because we know internationally is also a huge growing market. But what's still in the box?
I think there can be a lot in the box. It depends a little bit on the marketing. And like you mentioned before, I think it's especially for Bavaria, so it's not a traditional product, maybe. So in the mindset of the people, it's not a traditional product. And that's maybe why they think it's cannot be that the Bavarians are interested in this product. But I think it's not so in reality, though. It's I think for us, the beer is a really special thing. So we call it like a food. So in Bavaria, we call it beer as a food. And so if we come from this thinking, maybe it's interesting. So we think it's tasty. It's an alternative. So if we are in the beer garden, we want to drive. If we go to sport afterwards. So it's maybe a good alternative to drink this kind of beverage. And maybe we start a little bit with this mind changing that we not compare it. Oh, I want to have this original beer. We accept it as own product. We like it. We think it's tasty. And when we drink it more and more. And I think that's a way of thinking. It becomes more and more established in Germany, I think. So we see that on the growing market. And I think also worldwide. I think a lot of people like this small, I call it now not beer, I call it malt-based or grainy-based beverages. And I think in this product style, we find non-alcoholic beer. And we like it more and more. So we have also growing market in the last year for malt-based beverages, for example. And so we see it as natural product. And so I think there's a high potential in the market. And I'm sure that it will grow in the next year more and more.
I guess, so I see also a lot of people in Germany here drinking non-alcoholic beers more as an alternative to a soda, as an alternative to beer itself. So before they order, I don't know, a Coke or a soft drink, they would order a non-alcoholic beer because they think, it's the better non-alcoholic product and it's a little bit more cultural related.
Yes.
So do you think now is the time for breweries to jump on that train to you know, focus on their non-alcoholic beverages, or do you think it's still early and it might be good in 2 or 3 years, or is now the time to do
it? I think now it's the time. So I think 10 years before was the time. I think many of the breweries, they jumped on this train. So we see there are a lot of products in the market, and of course they are maybe not the best sellers, but we have this product, and I think now the breweries get the drive really to do development on this product, to make them more tasty, to look what is really the what is the customer expecting for this product style, and they optimize more and more their products. And I think that's the way of thinking in the next years, more to optimize the product, to bring it to the customer. But I think most of the breweries, they meanwhile have such a non-alcoholic beer in her portfolio.
Yeah, because actually we jumped on that train 26 years ago together, the university and the brewery.
And you were successful.
Yeah, we were actually successful. So it's, I guess, number 3 or number 4 product in when it comes to the volume in the brewery is non-alcoholic. So, and actually even it's the Corona crisis. We are investing in a brand new de-alcoholization plant.
Yeah.
And to our existing plant from 1994, there's another plant coming. And we stick now to that technology. So you are researching on those different technologies and ways. And you also have a de-alcoholization plant at your institute. So you're also doing some research on that special technology of de-alcoholization the beer on thermal, the thermal way. So what things you're there researching there, or what the projects you're just right now doing at the institute?
So so maybe we can come back to the beginning of the talk where we talk about the loss of the aroma we have by the thermal way of production. And so I think we can do a lot here with our technological parameters, with our technological potential in the plant. And so this is one of our main research topics, for example, how can we optimize the way of production that we bring back the aromas in the non-alcoholic beer? How can we try to avoid that too much aromas become lost? And I think it's aroma-based at the moment. But on the other hand, we do also a lot on palatefulness and mouthfeel, because that's sometimes really... this is a deficit for this products, and but here we come not from the technical way, so it's not optimizing in the plant. It's more optimization of the product before. So we start by the mother beer, for example, that we really optimize the recipe of the beer, of the mother beer, of the original beer, and that we really push, for example, aromas, that we push up palatefulness, enhancing substances, that we then at the end get a harmonic product after the de-alcoholization.
So get this right, so that we having like not, so that we are producing mother beer is the basically the beer where we are then afterwards de-alcoholizing.
Yes.
But so when we're producing that mother beer that we are focusing, let's stick to wheat beer, for example, maybe on the banana aroma, very intensely, because we know we will lose some of the bananas afterwards with the thermal influence of the de-alcoholization. And so we are in the first place focusing a little bit more on that.
Yes.
Would be if we would sell that kind of beer to inharmonic, because it's maybe too intense on banana and would not sell as an alcoholic version, but as a de-alkalized version, it would work better because then it's more balanced because we have lost in some aromas but still have a good amount of it in it.
So that's a good example, and we can do the same, for example, with the sugar portfolio inside, with the polysaccharides inside, to really influence the palatefulness and the mouthfeel.
Okay.
And so we have different ways where we can do research.
So basically on the meshing program working
there. Yes, for the meshing program, by the raw materials, by the modification of the malts, by speciality malts. So there are a lot of ways.
And you're equipped with all those ways. So yes. With the science brewery, with the research brewery, we have an 8-hectoliter brew house there. You have also an 8-liter brew house, so you can go from the smallest possible scale to... small industry scale, and you also have an industry-sized dealcoholization.
Yes, so we have both. So we have a lot of scales in our research breweries, so we can do also a scale-up. So we often do that for companies, for example, if they really want to develop a new product. Then we start in the small brewery, we do first tasting, then we scale up, and then we come up to the pilot scale. And so we have, for the pilot scale, for the 8 hectoliters, then we can go in our dealcoholization plant.
Yeah, lucky for us that we are basically next door and can also benefit from that. And and so we're actually getting also our new dealcoholization plant, so I guess there will be some more cooperations on that coming.
Yeah.
And... I guess that's also from the time, because we would not take too long. And one last question, if you are okay with that.
Yeah, I hope so.
10 years from now, what would you wish when it comes to non-alcoholic beers is happened in 10 years from now, when just... thinking about NA beers?
I wish that it becomes more acceptance in the society, that we see it as own product, as own beer style. So we call it beer. It is a beer because it's based on the same way of production. But I think that is my wish, that we see it as own product style and that we stop to compare it with an original beer, whatever that is, because I think it's not maybe and if you compare Coke Light with Coke, for example, there you have just one substance you try to bring in another style. So it's just the sugar. So we take out the sugar and then we use sweeteners. So in a beer, it's much more complex. So it makes absolutely no sense that we think in this complex system that we can really bring it to the original product like it was before. Mm-hmm. And so that was my wish. So I think if we start to accept it as own style, then we're on the right way with this product.
That's a good wish for the future. I hope I can help you with that and work on the acceptance with my travels and with my interaction with our customers and fans of Wein Stefan, because I'm a big fan of the product too. And I hope we can work on that way with the whole industry to make those products more acceptable, yes?
Yes, I hope so too. So we have a lot of energy for this topic because we think it's really a future topic and there's so a lot of potential inside.
And there are a lot of people who are grateful for that because they can't thank you enough for working on this, because there's a lot of people who just want to have a malty beverage and don't like the alcohol, for example.
Yes.
And those people are the exact target group for that. It's not only people who want to have the same taste that a Hefeweiss beer has in a non-alcoholic beer, but also people that just like the malty side of it.
Yeah.
And there are going to be exciting things to come, I suppose. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. And I guess also we are, as the Wein Stefan Brewery, we are also dedicated to that kind of products. I guess, like, I don't know, investing inside in the middle of the corona crisis in a new brand new dealcoholization plant is, I guess, proof of how serious we take this. And you're a member of the supervisory board of the brewery, actually, and I guess you're supporting that.
So we think that's the right decision.
Yes. Martina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for
being here. Thank you for your time. And and also thank you to our listeners who were with us today.
Thanks a lot.
And also who were so bravely with us three Germans try to speak English all the time. It's sometimes hard for us, I can promise you, because, you know, we are thinking German and then must talk in English. It's not that easy for us. So please excuse sometimes mistakes we have made, or maybe when we said things complicated. I promise you, in our German heads, it makes total sense.
And if it does make sense and you have something to complain to us, and we will make sure that you get the correct answers for any questions you have.
Absolutely. So. If you have any questions, don't hesitate. Write us an email or contact us through our social media channels at WeinStefanOfficial on Instagram or Bergische Staatsbrauerei WeinStefan on Facebook. Also, Twitter. What's our Twitter account?
WeinStefan.
Oh, yeah, cool. That was easy. So you will find in the description of the podcast your contact possibilities. If you have questions on the topic of non-alcoholic beers, if there are some more dedicated questions on that, or maybe if you're interested in, I don't know, science corporations, just reach out to Tecken Rosen in Munich and Miss Martina Gastel from the brewing school here, Tecken Rosen in Munich in WeinStefan. Okay, Martina, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be the first podcast.
I mean,
thank you.
I don't want to brag about it, but it was my idea, actually.
Okay, this is now the moment where we stop. So thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.